Lord, thank you so much. Lord, we just love you. And we need you, Lord. We need you more than ever. We need you all in our life. We need you to walk with us, talk with us, and be in us, Lord, fully. We need your Holy Spirit to be filled within each one of us, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We thank you, Lord, for these good people that are with us, this good fellowship, this like-minded fellowship. We all believe that you're the God and you're sovereign, and nothing happens without you knowing about it. In fact, you coordinate all this stuff around us, Lord. We thank you for that because we know it's to our good. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we know it's for our good, for our maturation process. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit fill us all up, Lord, to overflowing. And let us all feel your presence, Lord, and know that your presence is here by faith. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've given us. You said the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's pretty small. And I would move mountains, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, for all you're going to do tonight. And I ask, Lord, that you just give everybody a special anointing to speak what's on their mind that you've given them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. Any prayer requests tonight? Well, I'd like to pray if y'all would believe with me. Father, I ask for your favor in this. I ask, Lord, that you shut all doors to Blake going to Texas to the oil fields. I ask, Lord, that you shut every one of them in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you open up another door here locally in Arkansas or out here, either one, that would be pleasing to him, Lord, that would help him out. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for the work that you're doing in him and Courtney also, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Dano, how you doing?
Oh, I guess okay.
Praise the Lord. It's good to hear you.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has. I've been noticing y'all been listening, but praise God. Okay. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was just wanting prayer for our youngest daughter is expecting a baby, and she's been having some difficulty with the pregnancy. They've discovered that her placenta has grown into the scar tissue from her previous C-section, and so she's in danger of hemorrhaging, and she's kind of been going through some, you know, kind of trying times, and they're going to take the baby 6 weeks early because of that. So this coming Monday, they're going to take the baby, and so I'd just like prayer for her. You know, we've been praying for her, but I would like to have you pray for her and have everyone just agree for her safety and that this will be something that will draw both she and her family closer to the Lord. And we know we've seen big changes in our daughters, you know, going with Marlon's trial. And we just know this is another one of those instances, and we just pray that they would grow closer to him through this. So
okay.
if you wouldn't mind praying.
No, don't mind at all. Father, what's her name?
Leanne.
Leanne. Okay, Father, we lift up Leanne to you and this baby. And Father, we thank you that you're going to show yourself strong during this trial that they're in. Not only that, Lord, I ask that you grant repentance to them and draw them to you in a mighty, mighty way because of all of these things. And Lord, I ask and I pray that the baby is fine, mama's going to be fine, and everything's going to be fine because we prayed the prayer of faith for her. We believe, and we thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you that when this is over, that all the glory goes to you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a healthy mom and a healthy baby after this ordeal is over, in the name of Jesus. Now, I tell you what, Gaynold, I feel led to pray that this placenta is corrected by the Lord, and to show them that God gets the glory for it. What do you think?
That sounds like a good idea.
Okay, well,
I would agree with that.
In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that placenta to heal up and be normal, and not be any kind of abnormality to it at all. And the doctors are going to go back in there and look and see. Say, wait a minute, there's ain't nothing wrong in here. We praise you, Father, that it's going to be an absolute miracle in their eyes, and you're going to get the glory for it, Father. And Leanne's going to see that it's you, and it's going to draw her and her family closer to you, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Amen.
Sure do.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yeah, everybody on the place here believes too, Gaynold, so that's a done deal. I believe it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. How's Marlon doing?
Well, he's getting stronger. You know, it's a process. It takes a while. He has good days and he has bad days.
Okay.
Just like I know all do, but yeah, he's able to eat food now, which is really a blessing, because he really hadn't had food since 1st of February. So that was a long stretch there with no real food.
Yeah. Well, praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So he can eat a bologna sandwich now, huh?
Well, no. He has to eat stuff, you know, stuff that's kind of ground up and stuff like that yet. It's going to be a while.
Okay. Praise God. Well, all right. Give him a hug for us. Well, give him a hug for us. Is he there by you?
Well, he's here.
I am here.
Okay. Hey, Marlon, good to hear your voice, brother. God bless you.
I'd like to have you pray for me. I have backaches, and I'd like to have you pray for that so that the pain would go away.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now.
Kind of a place where I'm having pain.
Okay. Gaynold, put your hand where he's having pain, because it's fixing to go. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain out of Marlon's back. Now, you go from him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Marlon is healed in the name of Jesus. He's not going to have to experience it anymore.
No.
In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that not only is his back going to be healed, but his appetite is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as the days wear on. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to be quicker than the doctors said. Because it's you doing the healing, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. Good to hear you.
Yeah, if you got a couple minutes, I would share with you some of the awesome things.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You go right ahead, brother.
I suppose I ought to start at the beginning, because I know you got a lot of new people on that haven't been there before, don't even know what I'm talking about. But about a year ago, I started having trouble swallowing any food. It didn't want to go down. And I was believing for healing. And it went on until about January, and I was diagnosed with esophagus cancer. And they told me it was a very active, fast-growing cancer. And but I still was believing for healing, and they had a bunch of appointments ready, you know, for me up the line with doctors, and I canceled all them and just believed the Lord for healing. And finally it got so bad I couldn't swallow even water, so I was forced to go to the doctors and do the doctor thing. And the plan was for me to do radiation and chemo, and then they'd take the tumor out. But in between this, and they'd put a feeding tube in because I couldn't eat. And one day I thought maybe I was getting some infection in that feeding tube, so I went to the doctor that put it in, and he was twisting around on that thing. And I thought it was funny at the time, but I didn't say nothing. And boy, that night, by evening, I was in such pain. My wife took me to the emergency room, And I was screaming and hollering. I mean, I just had terrible pain. And they finally put me out, I guess, and they didn't know what to do. And my everything just went crazy. My heart rate went way up and blood pressure, and I had a heart attack during this time. And at that time, they told my wife and my family that there was a 99% chance that I wouldn't live till morning. And I think it was the third CAT scan they'd done. They thought I had a twisted intestine. And normally, when the gas builds up, you know, it could go out a person's throat because, but it couldn't do that because of that tumor in my esophagus. Or it could go the other way, but my colon was twisted, so, or my intestine, so it, the gas built up and it actually blew a hole in my stomach. Just actually blew a hole. And, but the Lord brought me through it, and then they put me on a bunch of heart medicine because my heart was in bad shape, they said, and needed that medicine. But we told them that my heart was healed. We didn't, there was nothing wrong with my heart. And finally one day, it was a lady doctor, and she did agree to go off the medicine for a couple of days, and then they'd give me a stress test. And when I took the stress test, my heart was fine. The Lord had healed it. So that was an awesome thing from the Lord. And at that time, then the local doctor, he told me I'd never find anybody to operate on me because I was in too bad a shape. I'd lost a lot of weight. I was down to 103 pounds at one time. And but we did get a doctor in Omaha to operate. And I didn't have any, my heart was fine, and I didn't, they told me I'd lose 15 pounds, and I didn't lose 15 pounds. In fact, I barely lost any. I weigh 4 or 5 pounds more now than I did at one time. And we just realized that, you know, through all this, that it was the Lord doing those things. And He really worked in our family. Like my wife said, he brought our family together, and our girls, they talk a lot different now than they used to. They call us for prayer, and he just, you know, just worked a lot of things in our family and in our, the people around us, in our community, and in us. And I'm, you know, we're still believing that I was healed at the cross. I'm going to have complete healing. It just hasn't manifest. But the Lord chose a different way to do it, I guess. I'm sure he had some things he worked in us going through these trials. I know one of them is patience, for sure. Because, boy, did I learn patience going through the, being on that feeding tube for all that time. And anyway, we just give God the glory for all that, and thank him that I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe it too, Marlon. I believe it, and I'm looking for the time when you and Dano can come on back down here and visit with us.
We're looking forward to it.
All right, brother. God bless you. We're still praying for you.
Thank you, and thank everyone for the prayers. Because I know that was a big part of everything.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Awesome testimony. All right. Anybody else? Wait a minute. Who is 153.31.113.27? Is that you? Is that somebody got a PC on and the phone too? Who is that? 153.31.11, 113.27. I'm going to ask again, does somebody have two PCs going or a tablet and a PC or something like that going? No? Hmm.
It doesn't look like they have a microphone.
Well, that's why I asked if it was somebody that had an iPad or something and a phone going or something like that. That's what it looks like.
Oh.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Leon. Didn't you have your hand up a while ago? Okay. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
This morning, you know, Missy asked for prayer for her neck and back pain, and so then Denny mentioned mine, because I woke up yesterday morning with spasms like in under my shoulder. Yesterday morning with spasms like in my back, under on my shoulder blades, and it was going up, and I just real stiffness in my neck, and I just kind of was praying and just enduring it and waiting for it to go away, and I got to heal it, and I still had it today, this morning, and but after prayer, I realized sitting there through that, in the meeting I'm later on, that it was gone.
Right, he's gone.
Whoa, this is gone. This was really, oh, thank the Lord. So I just wonder how Vanessa's is. We prayed for her, too. I wonder how Missy's went, so. Is Missy on?
Yeah.
Yes,
he's on.
How'd you pain,
Miss? Let's hear a testimony, girl.
Blood pain.
Yeah.
it's been a battle, but the enemy's not getting the upper hand. I have the upper hand because I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and overall the enemy.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
No one formed against me will prosper. I'm not under the curse. I need to say more.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing.
Amen.
Power. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm blessed.
Yes, you are. All right. Anyone else? There's Fudgesicle.
Michael?
Yeah, iPad Judy and Sue G. How y'all?
I'd like to bring my grandson, Clayton. I don't know if you can see this picture. This was on, I don't think you can see it. No, forget it. Okay, there's a picture of him on Facebook with him in the hospital. And that's the only way I can really find out about he's the only one that has about, you know, I can learn anything is from Facebook. Well, anyhow, he had appendix attack and then he had to be rushed to the hospital and had an operation. So I want to thank the Lord that they got the appendix out and everything was okay. And that he's gone through that and that the Lord will take care of him. And also that the Lord will heal him up fast and that he'll be up and ready to go soon. And that he was able to go through everything okay. So I want to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. We believe it. We believe right along with you that it is going to happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Testimony or prayer request, praise report? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I wanted to share a word from the Lord that Eve got yesterday. It's very important, and it's a word that's called press in. It's by Eve Brath. Yesterday, as I was working around 11 a.m., the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I come quickly. Go, my daughter, and write the things I speak and warn my people. So I grabbed my notebook and he said, this is the Lord speaking. In a very little while, you shall see me. I come quickly. Tell my people to enter into the secret places of their hearts and cry unto me for purity and holiness, to press in to the voice of my Holy Spirit. Listen to my voice in the quiet place. Soften your hearts to my corrections. Cleanse yourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. If your hearts are pure and willing, I will fill you with my power to overcome. Separate yourselves from distractions and the useless things of this world and this life. There is so little time left, so little time. Seek me with all your mind, will, and strength, and I will be found of you. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Many judgments and terrible things are coming. Do not get weary of seeking me daily. Do not grow weary of sanctification. Be diligent to be found in me. When I return and judgments fall, will you be found in me? Your adversary is increasing his activities, especially against my holy ones, seeking to deceive and destroy as many as will listen to his lies. All idolaters will fall. Wherever idols are found, the enemy will gain access to your souls. The idol of self is the biggest deception. You sit on the throne of your own hearts and are deceived by your own mind, will, and emotions. Put on my whole armor and fight. Do not let down your guard even for a minute. Understand your enemy's tactics. He will use your friends, even your brethren, your family members, and your phones and electronic devices to keep you from obeying this word I speak to you. Resist the distractions and the cunning deceptions and lies. Do not listen to lies. Cast down every vain thing, every vain thought, or these will take root in your heart and mind and exalt themselves above me and my word. Then shall the scales cover your eyes, and your ears will be stopped, and the deceptions will overtake you. You will not even recognize it. Go forth in intercession, void of distractions. Don't be slothful. Pray without ceasing, and I will lead you to victory. You will be found in me, and the devil will have nothing in you. In this way, you will live in the light of my truth. I will lead you forth in victory, conquering all your enemies. I have provided everything you need, but you must use it. Then Eve says, I asked Father for a text for this word. And my finger was on the phrase, there is no respect of persons in Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 25. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. wherein ye also once walked when ye lived in these things. But now do ye also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children that they be not discouraged. Servants, obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatsoever ye do, work heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. Ye serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive again for the wrong that he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Amen. That's a very sobering word from the Lord. And it's an encouragement and it's an admonishment all in the same thing. In other words, if you are doing what he says it needs to be done, then he's encouraging you. And if you're not, he's admonishing you, and he's actually encouraging you also to get back on the right track. Praise God. And, you know, I'm not talking to anybody specifically. Now, I can point some fingers. Ain't going to do no good. I'm just kidding. But it's a sobering word from the Lord, and it's one to be heeded. In fact, the Lord is telling us to seek him. Get in your secret place and seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart, folks. That's something I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, too. Okay. Anybody got any questions or any comments upon this word from the Lord? Okay, Missy.
Well, you know, the Lord, that word was saying about judgments and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. And for anyone that's not aware of this, Sunday there was an 8.2 earthquake near the Fiji Islands. And since then, in the past 48 hours, I believe I found an article here that said there's been 69 earthquakes in the Ring of Fire in the last 48 hours. Hmm. And actually down in Venezuela earlier today, there was a 7-something right off the coast of Venezuela. And for a while there was a tsunami warning, but they might've had a little bit of a tsunami with it. but it was dropped then. But there's a fear of the big one hitting California. This article I found, I was like, wow, it's pretty interesting. I hadn't realized how long it had been since there had been some a major earthquake hit in California. Like a major one. Let's see here. It was saying that earthquakes rattled Indonesia, Bolivia, Japan, Fiji, but didn't reach the western coast of the U.S., which sits on the horseshoe ring of fire fault line. Yeah, that is like, that's fascinating because I have this earthquake and tsunami app, and I was looking at it, and it's not showing any earthquakes on the West Coast at all, which to me of the United States, and there have been all around the rest of the Ring of Fire, and there has not been one there. That is pretty amazing. And I mean, you know, that to me says one thing, maybe two things. That's the Lord's mercy for one. And two, it could just not be happening because, like they're saying, it just hasn't happened yet. And there's just all this pressure building up, and there is going to be a big one. I don't know, but it's pretty interesting. Experts claim. Claimed California is overdue for a large quake, and the shaking around the Ring of Fire could be a warning. The last time there was a magnitude 7 quake or higher in California was 1906, which struck San Francisco and killed 3,000 people. I thought there was... There's something I saw here saying that if Cascadia were to have a large quake, the resulting tsunami would kill more than 11,000 and injure more than 26,000 people. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has warned. Cascadia's last quake was on January 26th, the year 1700, with an estimated magnitude of 8.7 to 9.2, and involved the San de Fuca plate, which from mid Vancouver Island south along the Pacific West Coast. Anyway, it's interesting. So, I was talking to Eve earlier, and right before I got on the phone with her, we were planning on re-talking even before she posted this word on the blog, and I was just like, whoa. And then right before I got on with her, I got this tsunami warning thing, and she just texts me back and says, it's just the beginning. I said, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's there's no such thing as a coincidence, you know.
Are they predicting California quakes now? Or not? Are they having any warnings or anything?
I don't know. They're warning that there's, you know, big one, you know, that's there's nothing. The title it says sparking fears that the big one is about to hit California. But it's like, gee. There has not been one earthquake in the past 24 hours that shows up on my app, and it shows all these other earthquakes, and there has not been one. Now, unless they're not even showing them for some dumb reason, I don't know, because I know sometimes the the United States one, FGS or whatever, sometimes they deliberately don't report certain earthquakes because they try and hide sometimes how bad things are.
Yeah, we know they dummy them down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But I was just like, wow. But I'll have to try and see. But actually, when I heard about the 8.2 Sunday, I went to Dutch Sense to see what he had to say about it. And he said, that was the strongest and deepest earthquake he has seen in all the years that he's been doing this.
What was it, like 59 kilometers or something like that?
I don't know. It was like, I thought he had said it was like 400 something miles deep. Well, but then when I looked on my app, it said it was 300 something miles, about 400 miles deep. But he said of all the years that he's been doing this, that was the strongest and deepest quake that he's seen. And I don't know how long he's been doing it, but he's been doing it for quite a while.
Yeah. Did he say that was significant for some kind of future event?
Yeah, he said that in the next week to 10 days that he expected to see some shallow quakes and some big quakes. So he was given a heads up and a warning, and as you can see, it didn't take long. The one off the coast of Venezuela was a 7.4, I believe. And there has been definitely some bigger quakes. There's been sixes. There's been some, that 7.1 there. But
well, it's something to be praying about.
Yeah. Vanuatu, whatever, they're not far from Fiji, had a 6.5 earlier today. They had a 6.5 and a 6.7. Well, maybe it may be the same earthquake. It's three different agencies reporting. I have
Missy, wasn't there an 8.2 in Alaska the other day?
I was in Fiji Island.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. They reported that there was even a 9-point-something somewhere, and I can't remember. I did. Somebody was talking about it that they didn't even report.
There was also a 6.3 off the coast of Venezuela. And apparently also a 7.0 too earlier today. I'm just trying to scan. Sometimes there's so many here that it lists that I'm trying to find where the bigger ones are. But you know, when there's a I did see one the other day. There was a 6-something in Hawaii because of Kilauea. That was big.
Mm-hmm. So, was it off the coast of Hawaii?
Was it off the coast?
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really look. I just saw that it was the six something.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember. It seemed like it was a higher six. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It was definitely a 6-something. And that's the biggest I had seen there, which is a pretty big one because I know most of the time I've seen them, they were 5-something there in Hawaii.
Yeah. Does anybody attribute this to Planet X, or is this just the world getting?
I don't know. I haven't, you know, I didn't I hadn't really looked into the news or anything and realized that there had been such an uptick. I haven't been keeping real close to it, so I'm tempted to kind of maybe go and see what might be out there about that. I know David implied on one of the recent Bible studies something about Planet X, their observances or some new information. Isn't there some, I don't know, calculations as to where it's at or something? I remember David saying something, didn't he, Michael?
Yeah. When was it? Looking for it in April next year? Is that what he said?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember. I remember him talking about it, though. I don't remember what he specified. Well,
he didn't say anything on the Bible study. I think he mentioned it briefly, just something about Planet X. And it was probably, I think it was in one of the last two about the Passover, if I remember correctly. But he didn't go into any details, just mentioned about it, that there's been some stuff recently about it that he's heard or whatever. But
well, it might have been he's not talking about
it. He'll share that with us here soon.
Yeah. I heard him say it was still a ways off.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, even a year is a ways off yet, I guess.
Well, you know, when the Lord tells you quickly, he's coming quickly. These things are coming quickly. His quickly and our quickly don't jive a lot of times, you know. We think of quickly like in the next half a second, you know. But the Lord quickly could be down the road a piece. But, you know, why take a chance? We all need to, you know, be seeking the Lord and finding out if there's any darkness in our hearts, you know, to get rid of that and be prepared for when this thing does start. Because he says it's going to start with us, you know, he ain't even knowing. Boom, it's going to happen.
That's what I was saying to Eve earlier when I was talking to her. I said, you know, now the Lord says he's coming quickly. I said, is that his quickly or our quickly? I said, do I always have to be the one to say a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day? And she said, well, the Lord told John that I come quickly, and that was 2,000 years ago. And you know what? That was, I said, and that was only 2 days ago. So that is quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were laughing about it, and I said, the Lord's probably getting a laugh out of us getting a kick out of this. But anyway.
Yeah. He's warned us. Now it's up to us to be prepared for when it happened. Don't be one of the five virgins that weren't prepared. Ten virgins. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
I was just wondering about, I come quickly, if you even meaning, because it's such an admonishment to us to get our lives right and pure and sanctification, not be weary of sanctification. You can be, I'm coming in you.
What he says, coming in power.
Yeah, so maybe it's just coming in us quickly. That could be tomorrow.
Quickly. Could be. We can only pray.
Ready.
And believe. Thank you, Lord. I believe this. I believe we need to be ready for whenever it is. He said we're not going to know the day or the hour.
Right.
We know the seasons. We're in the seasons. We know that. We know we're close. I mean, I thought 7 years ago when I came here it was going to happen the next day, you know. And here we are 7 years later. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Well, just to say, the Lord recently showed me some major dreams I had. I had like four different dreams. August 10th, 2011. And two of the dreams in particular were really, it's like, at the time, you either have your head stuck in the sand or you're in denial or you just don't understand, you know. But this August 10th was 7 years, and the Lord got my attention about that. Because right after I had those dreams, he revealed to me in those dreams some things that were going to be happening, and some things that was showing me the truth about some things in my life that were going on. But he got my attention that it was 7 years, and he showed me that was, you know, my 7 year tribulation, you know, and just a lot of other things. I know, you know, something is going to be happening here soon. You know, the man child and the Lord's judgment and everything on his people. So yeah, we have to be ready. And I know that 7 years was a sign to me that things are about ready. You know, one of the things that kind of comes to my mind is, you remember how Joseph had Joseph had that dream about the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. Mm-hmm. That kind of came to my mind, you know, and you could kind of say that this past 7 years has been a 7 years of plenty, even though it's been kind of a trial. But the only way that I've gotten through that is through the help of you know, the Lord in the word and all my UBM brothers, you all, you know, on the outreach, the local UBM and everything. And it's been a 7 years of trials and tribulations, but the only way I made it through was, you know, by the Lord and in his word. And it's the only way I've gotten through. He's taken me through it. And it just amazes me how much the Lord has changed me, and I know I don't even realize, you know, myself how much He's changed me, but yeah, it's you could say it was 7 years of plenty. But we're gonna make it through the next 7 years the same way, on his word and obedience to his word. Just following him.
Amen. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Can I share my screen for a second?
Sure.
Do you see that?
No. I see you.
You do?
Yeah.
How about that?
I see you. I see it.
Okay, then I must
know. Okay, now we're going.
You see now. This over here?
Yeah.
See that web address we were talking about?
Yeah.
See there?
What does that mean?
This web address, this IP address here, mm-hmm. belongs to this.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? I just looked up that.
Scroll down a little bit. Virginia. Okay. All right.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. All right, you unshare.
So how do I get back out of here?
See, up there at the top, it says quit sharing or something
stop.
Like that.
Stop. Yeah,
there you
Whatever
go.
Whatever you're doing, stop.
Amen. Well, that's interesting.
So...
Hmm.
I think it's time for specific prayer to
amen.
Help
FBI him. Yeah, go ahead, Pat, and I took him off. Go ahead and pray for a minute.
Father, I thank you for your strength, your grace, and your protection, Lord. Thank you that you have guided us and led us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we thank you that however that particular individual or group, or maybe it was just a computer program scanning the net, listening for words or whatever. But Lord, we pray right now that those that were listening from that group, whether it was the people that were listening, that you would, we bind that darkness right now in the name of Jesus, and we command light to shine in that darkness right now and to penetrate those hearts and to bring forth conviction, bring forth the truth, bring forth a desire. Obviously see the pressures, the things coming along in the world now, the crumbling of the society in many of its forms. And Lord, we just trust you that you would take that information, put it in their heart, start to shatter the confidences that they had previously, and that you would open up their eyes and put a desire in their heart to know the true and the living God. Bring them to you, Lord Jesus. We trust you and we thank you. Lord, we know that that only you can bring us to the Father. And so we just trust you for these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I come against any darkness that coming against UBM or this fellowship in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, amen. I thank you for your hedge of protection around every one of us in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that we don't have to worry about things because you got things in your hand. We thank you, Lord, for sending your angels out right now to return whatever it is, to take out whatever it was that they were looking for in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Want to pray or?
Pray for my sister. It's under control, but she's really depressed now, and she posted on Facebook her reasons, and I'm just going to say a little briefly so we know how to pray, but that she thought that her daughter followed them down there, but now there's really no contact with her daughter. She'd rather be with her sons, and she's complaining about this on Facebook, and other cousins there. She doesn't see them. They never want anything to do with her, so she said, all this stuff out there on Facebook, that's not going to help relationships down there at all. So I want to pray for that. But then I'm asking that the Lord maybe would use this, because she talked about, I just want to go back. I just want to go back to Illinois and maybe go to Florida in the winter, because she hates the winters. But I was talking to her before about California and the scares of the earthquakes and everything. And she's like, oh, you know, didn't faze her. But I'm just praying, I want to pray that all this will send her back and send her away from there, because of this, maybe God is using, you know, we'll use this for that good to get her away from there. So, I just want to pray that. So,
yeah, go ahead. We'll believe with you.
Thank you, Lord. We just lift up Becky, Lord, and I pray, first of all, God, that she would turn to you, Lord. She would not turn to just, they would get wisdom from you, God, to leave. In Jesus' name, I pray for their safety. So I just thank you now, God, that you revealed that to me to see how you could use this for good to get Becky and Dennis out of there, Lord. And they move, Lord. And I pray they'd not leave any bad feelings and relationships behind for the things she said. I pray for healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
But for doing that for our family, too. Everybody's family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, I'm going to include my daughter-in-law's Brooke.
her brother, sister-in-law. They just moved out there for Tori to go to vet school. Actually, her brother, Roby, is my son Curtis's best friend, and his wife, Tori, is Brooke's best friend. You know? So my son, you know, so just thank you, Lord, for their protection too. We ask you for your mercy and grace, Lord, and that you be merciful and give warnings to your people, and even people that may not even be saved yet, but that are your elect, give them warning. If you even have to put fear in them to get them out of there, Lord, for their protection, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your chosen out of there. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for protecting.
Taking me back through a few things for the last couple weeks. And I saw a little bit different here. I'd like to just share a little bit about what I have been seeing. I was listening to the last message. I think it was Wednesday's message. David... when he passed over, the Lord just kind of hit me, and I stopped on that verse for a while and just thinking about it. It's Jeremiah 3:18. And it says, in those days, and I believe it's talking about God doing something in a pattern, doing something in this end time. And he was obviously using Israel and Judah and the land then as a type at that in that time frame that he was discussing. I have to go back and read the context in it, but so I'm not going to do that. But in Jeremiah 3 and verse 18, it said, "In those days, the house of Judah will walk." It hit me that God is going to bring forth a revival, I guess the majority non-spirit-filled Christian, Christianity today, and bring them into the new covenant relationship of the fullness of the Spirit of God and the indwelling. I was thinking of the two sections, kind of the two divisions of Christianity, the spirit-filled and the non-spirit-filled sections. And I remembered a testimony that David gave. I think it was one of his sons one time had broken an arm. David I'm not quite sure how to explain, but he kind of passed up the wilderness and went straight into the promises, and did so quickly, he was very comfortable with simply just believing God and walking in it and testimonies and the things in the Sovereign God book and various different stories. But I know that this example he gave about his son breaking an arm or something, and he simply went in and prayed and trusted God for that healing. But David's wife, it seemed like she ended up as the direction or the path you take. That's okay. It's going to take longer, basically, until your same point. One is a little bit quicker. The other one takes a little bit longer. And I kind of saw that example, that example as kind of the non-spirit-filled sector of our religion today, our Christianity, and the spirit-filled those in the spirit, filled with the spirit, tend to make it there a little quicker, and those that are not of that persuasion tend to make it in their own path as well. Now, I may be way off base here. I don't know. That's why I'm really prefacing this, what I'm saying here, by the fact that I have gone back into searching mode, and in some sense feel myself as, you know, still tapping in the darkness until I can hit the light and see clearly. But so I'm not speaking as one who is standing on the other side shining the light here. I'm simply trying to make my path through. But anyway, I was thinking about on the front of the first page of the website, it has a interesting, says that old adage, we believe in that old adage, and that is, teach a man, give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. And I was a few months ago, 6 months ago or whatever, I was thinking about that, because I was having a conversation with, if I were to say that I was, well, let me back up. I was having a conversation with somebody, a friend of mine, who is of a different political persuasion than myself. And the Lord showed me in that adage there, that if you...
Does anybody know how it says...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Sharon, hang on just a second. Let Pat get through with his
talk. I was... if you listen to that adage that says, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. If you, I believe that God has created people that we as people, some of us feel a little bit stronger about, maybe we feel a little stronger about the first example of giving a man a fish so that you can feed him for a day. And then there's another group of us that feel a little stronger about the second one example, and that is, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. If you were to equate those two perspectives to our political system, you might tend to think that those that may be more liberal-minded, or those that may be are pulled more to, say, the Democratic side of our political spectrum, would feel a little stronger about feeding a man a fish for a day so he will survive. But if you were, say, a little more conservative, or on the Republican side, shall we say, of that persuasion, you might feel a little stronger about the other side. However, both concepts and perspective are absolutely essential to the growth and to a well-rounded society and a well-rounded individual. And if you think about us as people, as the Lord, as we raise our families, the first thing we do is have kids. And the very first thing we do is that we spend the first 12, 14, 18 years feeding them fish and teaching them and learning, making transition in their life so that we are able to teach them to fish when they get older, and then they move out of the house, and then they then do this cycle one more time. So the point being is that God has created us as individuals, that we are, that both aspects or both perspectives of of that concept are important and significant in people's life, in the development of people's lives. However, they're important in their particular timing. So why I said all of that, I'm not quite sure. But what I was equating that to our spirit-filled section of Christianity and our non-spirit-filled section, maybe the majority of Christianity today. And I believe God is going to bring those two together in these last days, and the aspects that the non-spirit-filled Christians that tend to focus strongly upon the written word, God is going to mesh them with that significance with the spirit-filled section of Christianity and bring it together as a balance, the balance and the fullness of the body that it's supposed to be.
Let me interrupt you there, Pat.
Sure.
What balance is there between a non-spirit-filled Christian and a spirit-filled Christian? How can that be a balance?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
All I know is that I will know it. When I find out what that is, I'll be sure to let you know.
Okay. All right.
But all right. There has to be a significance there somewhere. I just feel that that's...
Well, here's what I think, and I believe that you're right in most of what you're saying there, and if not all of it. But I believe that the people coming out of the denominational churches that are coming into the truth of the gospel are going to see the need for the baptism in the Holy Spirit to overcome the things that they're seeing. Some of them will, some of them won't, a lot of them won't. But there's going to, I believe that's why God is going to mesh them together in order for them, because they're going to be seeking, why is this happening? And the spirit-filled people are going to know because God's talking to them. Andrew, you had your hand up a while ago.
Actually, he did answer it in his talk.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to suggest that you give the fish, or you learn how to, you teach them how to fish. Those do operate in tandem, I think, all your life, all your Christian walk. Because there are times where you need that that other person's advice, and this is sometimes that it just you're secure on some of the things you already have too, and you grow from the, I think, the small things to the larger things too, with faith. That's just my opinion. Sometimes you need a helping hand. By brethren, and just by being in a conference call and listening carefully to things, to hear for your own walk on what some other people are going through, it actually helps you when you hear similar things or how you can apply them on a parallel. Anyway.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. No, that's okay. Just the practical aspect of that. You know, if you look at the logic, if you were one that was felt strong about teaching a man to fish, well, what are you going to do if it takes 2 or 3 or 4 weeks before that guy finally learns how to catch fish? He'll probably starve to death before you get there. So you're probably going to have to feed him a fish until he can learn to do it himself.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that I have been thinking about in the last, I say, couple of the week, a couple of weeks, and that is the example. David has been going a lot over about the Red Sea experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this baptism in the Red Sea and coming out of Egypt. And the interesting thing that that I've been pondering is that there's, if you look in the scripture, there's the initial God bringing Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, baptism in the sea and baptism in the cloud, and then led them through the wilderness experience. And then those people, those Christians, those people of God wandering in the wilderness, struggling, that they came to a point where that old man died, and God then took them through into the promised land, much like he did the first time through the water, except this time when Joshua took them across the Jordan, they stepped into that Jordan by faith, and those waters parted, and they went through, and they were free to walk through and follow Joshua into the promised land because that old man was finally dead. That old Egyptian, the first Red Sea experience was to pull them out of Egypt. And I believe the second sea experience is to pull the Egypt out of the people. Because that before they went across that Jordan, that old man died and was left in that wilderness. And the new man of faith crossed over that Jordan. And that's, I am starting to wonder and think and read some of the things I'm reading, is that there is a, that God is taking us through that process in our personal lives, crucifying that old man in this wilderness, so that that old man by faith is truly and practically dead and no longer, it's like David says, it's already taken place at the cross. We were crucified with Christ. That death has already taken place, but moving out of that wilderness across that Jordan into the promised land seems to be the place where I am personally at, or maybe not quite at. So that is kind of an expression of where God has got me, my mind, my thinking, my prayer, and that is my prayer request, I would say. So I would request prayer for me in that particular section. Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, when he was talking about Jeremiah 3:18, what came to me was Ezekiel 37, where it talks about Israel and Judah coming together. I'd like to read it if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ezekiel 37, and this was after the dry bones were raised up. And God said there was going to be an exceeding great army. And then it goes into talking about Judah and Israel coming together. Start at verse 15. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, "And you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions, them Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim and all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them for yourself, one to one another, in one stick, and they may become one in your hand. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it and with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. So say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel, and one king will be the king for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. I read from 15 to 22. That made me think about the two coming together as one. And, you know, like you said, that there would be a revival. And I kind of feels like that's part of it. You know, with
Jeremiah. Amen. I believe it. I believe it's going to happen too.
And, you know, what he was talking about, you know, Pat was saying about this last part, made me think of the chapter we've been getting into, or the book that we're getting to, Perfection of Christ. And I started reading the chapter, chapter two, and it's talking about how, you know, perfection comes by through manifestation. You know, us going through the wilderness process and stuff.
Yep, it does.
That also makes me think of what Eve had, you know. You know, the Lord said to be ready, and that's what this chapter was talking about, to be ready. So, anyway.
Amen. So,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah. They're all coming together. I believe the revival is going to do some mighty works in all of them. Yeah, Sharon, go ahead.
Reading the Bible where she was quoting from.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Go ahead, Leah.
Hey, Dave, let me ask Dave this. Did you just get on just a moment ago? And or were you on before that and just had your video camera turned off?
I tried to connect with my cell phone. It wasn't working out, so I thought I'd try the laptop. I'm not at my house right now, so I didn't know how things would connect.
Okay, so that was you on there before?
Yeah, my battery was getting low on the cell phone, so I shut the video off, so making it last longer. But then you guys start cutting it out, so I thought I'd try the laptop instead.
Well, I thought it might have been that FBI guy coming in as you. And
I was going to say I was Mark Zuckerberg, but I knew my name was already up. So.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, that address, if putting his address up there, that's kind of, I think somebody did that. I don't know if that was actually the FBI or somebody knew that code and put it up there, that IP address and put it up there to try to throw some fear into somebody. We've been having some problems, so I'm not even going to worry about it. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Dave, did you didn't hear the word that Eve had, and it was I'm not going to go over it again, but I'll send it to you. And I guess what I could do would be to email it to everybody and let y'all look at it.
Sounds good.
Okay. It's very, very sobering word from the Lord. He told us to get ready because it's fixing to happen. That's basically it in a nutshell. All right, anyone else? I want to comment on what Patrick was talking about. And Sue and Andrew. Okay. Yeah, Patrick.
Could I read a story that sure. I was reading here? I'll try to make it quick. This was one of the articles that I was reading in on this. It's a holiness or website. And it was some writing from John Wesley. But he just wrote, and I don't think this is John Wesley. I think this was the author of this particular website. But I thought it was kind of interesting. And it says, you see what you think of it. But it was the name of this little article is Simplicity. There is a provision of holiness for man while yet in the body, variously described in the scriptures as heart purity or body of sin destroyed or dead indeed unto sin or sanctified holy or perfect love or perfect holiness or perfection or loving God with all the heart, etc. This is to be cleansed from all actual sin and original depravity. Sin exists in the soul in two forms. Now, this is something, when I read this, I had to think about it, and so I put it forth for you guys to chew on for a minute and see what you think about it. But it says, sin exists in the soul in two forms, actual and original. The sins we have committed and the depraved or sinful nature inherited, which was ours before we were conscious of sinning. This latter is called the body of sin, our old man, the carnal mind, etc. While the former is described as transgression, committing sin, my iniquity, etc. From the first, actual sin, comes our guilt and conscious condemnation. We are guilty only for what we do, for what we are personally responsible. Our personal transgressions meet us like an armed man, and our cry is, pardon my iniquity, for it is great, O Lord. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God hears that cry and takes away all of our sins, so that as far as the east from the west, so far God removes all our transgressions from us. This is the work of conversion, the new birth, or the new creation. We are saved from all of our transgressions. The second form of sin is called original. It is that state which we call sinful, but it is more properly called depravity, or that perversity of our nature which comes of the fall. It was in us before we were responsible for our acts. This original sin cannot be reached by pardon, for pardon can only extend to actual transgressions or what we are personally responsible for. We are not responsible for original depravity, for it was born with us. It is not removed at conversion. Let us illustrate the idea. Mr. A was converted, had a clear conscience. He was full of joy. Jesus, all the day long, was his joy and his song. He felt no sin. Therefore, judged, he had none. It did not stir within. Therefore, he imagined it did not exist. He went on for weeks without a doubt, without a cloud. He performed every duty and was seeking only the divine will. But in the midst of his duties and his joys, a man insulted him, and instantly a feeling of anger arose in his heart, for it was in the heart that anger has its seat. It did not come to his lips, for it was suppressed by the Holy Spirit at once. But he felt the fire of anger within and wondered whence it came. He is humbled before God and feels for the moment that possibly he has backslidden. But when he carefully examines the case, he is sure he is not backslidden, but has, to the best of his knowledge, been striving to do God's will. He does not feel condemned for the presence of the anger, for it was not there at his bidding, and on the first appearance he sought to crush it, and did repress it. But from where came that feeling of anger? It belonged, no doubt, to that lower stratum of evil in his nature, that original depravity, which was not removed when his sins were all forgiven. To get rid of his original depravity, this original depravity is the work of the heart cleansing, entire sanctification. A pure heart, then, is one from which all sinful desires and tempers have been removed, such as pride, unbelief, envy, anger, impatience, and love of the world. These evils no longer exist to annoy the soul. It has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Humility has taken the place of pride. Faith has expelled unbelief. Love quenches the fires of anger, and long-suffering puts an end to impatience. Hence, a pure heart is one into which has come into the unmixed graces of faith, humility, patience, resignation, meekness, and charity. So much as this world seemed to be the radical primary meaning of the term pure, entire separation from all heterogeneous and extraneous matter, clear from mixture as pure water, pure air, pure silver or gold. Now, that's about half of the article. So its theological meaning, according to the same authority, is freedom from all moral defilement, without spot, not sullied or tarnished, incorrupt, undefiled by moral turpitude, holy. The Greek term means clean, pure, clear, and occurs in such texts as blessed are the pure in heart, charity out of a pure heart, holding the mystery of faith in a good conscience. Them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. pure religion and undefiled, and he's given various different examples. This state is one in which the heart is simply freed from all that is impure, a clean heart. It's a heart from which has been removed everything which does not accord with the divine will. A fully saved heart can look up into the face of Jesus and without mental reservations say, "Thy will be done," while the whole nature responds, "Amen, this is entire holiness." So, I've been reading through this this book related to that and listening to some of the examples of that, but the testimonies of various people that have, what I believe, have entered into that promised land that I was referring to before, of crossing through that wilderness and experiencing the need for that old man to die, and God leading them through the Jordan into that promised land. So anyway, I'll stop reading there.
Okay, would you say that the essence of what you just read was the progressive walk and sanctification of the Christian?
Which book is yes. he reading from?
He's reading from a book he's got.
Oh, it's no book in the Bible?
No, no.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
To answer your question, yes, I believe it is. I believe it's that God taking us through that sanctification process. But from the examples that I have been reading of people, and again, I have to put these stories or these writings in context. These were in the context of the 1700s, and John Wesley and Asa Mahan and Charles Finney, and these people were back in the 1800s. Before the, shall we say, the Azusa Street revival and bringing in of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the spirits and God bringing that aspect of the spirit-filled life into reality or into at least manifestation. So this was before those times. So I haven't quite put it into context of what I'm seeing, but some of the stories these people are testifying of is a real entering into a place of rest in faith, and it's a place of complete. The only thing I can say is relate to it is that death of self that, you know, we're talking about now, the death of the old man, the going down into the Red Sea, etc. It's a manifestation of that experience. So, again, I'm the blind man tapping in the darkness, trying to find that switch. So I'm not speaking to you as one with tremendous, you know, experience here. The bad thing about experience is you only get it after you need it, you know?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I can go back even further than that. I'm sure all through the ages, God had a certain amount of people that experienced the fullness of Christ, spotted as they may be, but I believe it. I've read about Jacob Bima. He was one that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I talked about Christ resting in the Lord. And some others way on back. Wesley was filled with the Holy Spirit, experienced healings and deliverances, as did some others back in his day. And it's, yeah, you're right. It's a walk. It's a walk that we continually walk on. And I believe we're going to see where what used to take people maybe 40 and 50 years to actually come to a place to where they could rest in the Lord. It's going to take just a very quick time here in the days ahead of us. Remember what the Lord said. He said he's going to grow people up quick. He's going to grow them up quick. And I believe that. I believe God's going to do that with the anointing of the man-child and also the anointing of the bride. And people are going to understand the word a lot clearer in the days ahead. So, yep, I believe you're right. I believe it's a coming.
Amen.
Yeah, Azusa Street was just here in recent history. We can go back even further than that as far as revivals and things like that go. I don't know. You can go look up David Orr. He was a historian of old-time revivals, and he goes back quite a ways with revivals. All right. Anybody else want to comment on anything that Patrick was talking about? But was that Charles Wesley that had that? One of the Wesley boys. But you're muted. I'm going to mute you.
No, it was the man that wrote it, his name was Tom Plum.
Okay.
He lives in Canada now. I'd never heard of him before. I stumbled onto his what he was writing, but he's the Lord 40 years ago saved him, put him through the paces in his own life and then put him down to writing and recording and compiling this information of the Wesleys and various other different examples in history related to this entering into God's rest. And a lot of it is coincides exactly with what David's teaching, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Andrew Murray talked a lot about God's rest as well, as did, what's the other guy? Ian Bounds also did. And both of them were, Ian Bounds was back in the 1860s all the way up to 1909, something like that. Of course, Murray died in what, 34, somewhere along the way. Okay. That's good, Pat. Thank you. Any questions anybody got? Missy, you've been snoozing over there. I've been watching you. You've been snoozing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we could, Thursday night now, we're going to do praise and worship. So have your best songs ready. Yeah. Have your best songs ready. I've got one in mind that I'm going to play, but y'all get you one ready. And also, we still got to go over the promises of Christ. And I thought it would be just the New Testament that we're working on, probably just, you know, the Gospels mostly, and maybe Revelation. There's a lot of them in there. Does anybody know how many promises there are in the Bible itself? Nobody know? Oof. Yeah. I don't know exactly, but there's a lot of them. How's that? Okay. It's 2,000 plus of God's promises in there, if you take them all into account. And even the promises in the New Testament, some people may not count some of them as promises, but they are. And but anyway, it's a lot of them in there. Yeah, Missy.
I noticed that Julie wasn't on outreach tonight, so I thought, wonder if she went back to work. So I texted her, and she said, yeah.
Okay.
Stay back. And I asked her if she had any prayer requests, and this is her prayer request. So if you would pray then, Michael, after I am.
Okay.
I'll basically pray what she has here, and then maybe you can pray more.
Okay.
Anyway, Father, we just ask you that you give Julie grace to endure and rely upon your strength to the end, and not to waver in faith and be a good witness. That's her prayer request, and so we ask that and agree. And we thank you, Father, for answering that for Julie.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for sending Julie back to work. That's what she's been wanting. And Lord, we thank you that she is. And Lord, we thank you for giving her the endurance to the end to see this thing through. Father, I remember Kenneth Hagin when he was a young man, young teenage boy, and had that disease, and he finally found out that he could pray, and if he believed what he prayed, that he would be healed, and he'd come up out of that bed of affliction, he called it, and it was hard for him, and he'd stumble around, and he'd drag himself downtown, and then he'd drag himself back, and he did that for days, but every day he got stronger, every day he got stronger, and Lord, I thank you that you're working this out in Judy, too, but I pray, Lord, that you make it a quick work in Jesus' name. We command any kind of doubt and unbelief out of her in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for giving her great and bold faith to believe what your word says. And this is a trial. And, Father, we thank you that she's going to overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Y'all believe it?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, first I didn't know what the topic was tonight because I had troubles getting on. Also, I wanted to ask if I can get some prayers because I'm back in college taking medical billing and coding, and I'm having a very hard time with my memory, and I flunked the first test that I was given.
Okay, yeah, we can pray for you in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, we thank you for Sharon's brain. We thank you, Lord, that you have made that brain. She's not under the curse. And we thank you for restoring all of her recollection and memory in her brain in Jesus' name, that she would ace all the rest of the test because you're going to show yourself strong in her, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I thank you also for putting her in the Word of God too, Lord, that she would remember those verses that you want her to remember, Lord. And I thank you for it, that you're going to file them for her and that you're going to bring them forward for her, Lord. And that'll be the best memory test she can have, is just learning the Word of God. And we praise you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed in the name of Jesus. Amen?
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Got a prayer request before we close out tonight. Well, Father, I thank you for tonight's fellowship. I thank you for all the things that were related, that were brought up, and kind of talked about, Lord. And I'll thank you for that, Lord. You're showing us how to get in the rest. Talking about getting in the rest. And not only that, this sanctification process or holiness process that you've got us on, Lord. I ask, Father, that you place it in everybody's heart to seek you above and beyond anything else because of this great word that you gave us here through Eve about the destruction that you said would come quickly. And for us to prepare by preparing our hearts, you said, Lord, that nothing else matters more than putting you first, Father. And we know that. It's just a matter of us doing it, Lord, and allowing you to work in us to do it, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we're all going to do that from now on. And nothing else matters, you said. You said the electronics don't matter, the phones, the games, the world doesn't matter. The main thing that matters now is getting right with you, Father, because the time's coming. And if you're not right with you, you're going to perish. You said you would, if they don't do it, that you would take away whatever they had, and they would be lost. And Father, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to run after you with all of our mind and our will and our strength, Lord. And we just run after you with everything that we've got, just like the Shulamite bride. And Father, we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we're all going to come into that place of personal relationship. And that's a word that's thrown about very loosely, Lord, but I'm talking about a personal relationship, that when we go in our secret closet, that we seek you with all of our heart, and we wait patiently to hear your answers in these things. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to teach us how to do that, because you said you'd do that, Lord. You said you can ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. And I praise you, Father, that we do have that promise. And I ask, Lord, that you protect us and be with us the next few days until we meet again Thursday night. And Thursday night, Lord, I hope it's a special night for you, Lord, because we're going to honor you with praise music and our glorification of you, Lord. And we just praise you for this avenue that we have to come together and do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
May I ask one question?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's not a question. I have to be honest. I have stepped away way back from the Bible and learning the Bible.